Right. Well, good evening. I'm really excited to be here, and I just want to thank Pastor Thompson Mascheri for putting this on, for inviting me. Definitely appreciate it. I don't know why CJ's not here, though. He's not getting off the hook. Something about having a baby, that's no excuse, man, and he needs to know that, too, and I'm going to tell him, okay? That is unacceptable. No, I'm just kidding, but I'm looking forward to talking to all of you, those who haven't had the chance to talk to. I always like coming here. This is my home state, so it's always great to be back down to sea level and be able to breathe oxygen with moisture in it. It's been a really, really, really nice thing. Sorry about that. Let's see if I can figure this out here. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 18, if you're following along. If not, I'm just going to go ahead and go through this. But 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 20 says this. It says, Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul the thing that pleased him. Okay? So I just want to kind of bring your thought process to the early days of David before he became king. So the Bible says that a daughter of King Saul loved David. Okay? And the thing definitely pleased Saul because in his mind he's thinking, okay, this is going to be a great way that I can get back at David because he's getting more attention than I am. Okay? And during the beginning of this relationship here, I mean, keep in mind this is David's first wife, Michal, and everything seems to be going well. You know, he thinks it to be an honor to be the son-in-law to the king. He thinks it to be a great thing. But you fast forward over to 1 Chronicles chapter number 15, and the Bible says this. Okay, so we see the very beginning of the relationship. Everything's good. Okay, everything's good to go. But all the way towards the end, 1 Chronicles 15, verse 29 says this. And it came to pass, as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing. And she despised him in her heart. So you have this perfect story of opposites. You've got the king's daughter. You've got the princess and the farm boy, if you will. Okay. So the title of the message tonight is Opposites Attract and Then Opposites Attack. Okay. And you're going to see that come to fruition when we play the game afterwards, I promise. If not, just pay attention to me because I'll get most of the questions wrong. It's just kind of how it is, okay? And so basically, this evening, there's obviously, you know, there's a lot that goes in between when Michal and David got together, okay? There's a few wives in between that. We'll look at some of that. There's war. There's a lot of issues that go on and a lot of things that contributed to why she developed this despising of her husband, okay? We can't get into all of it, but we're going to get into one big reason which affects two little reasons, okay? And that big reason is distance. Not just physical distance, but also emotional distance. Which obviously, what does that affect? Well, that affects communication, and then that affects the needs that both parties have, okay? So opposites attract, and then opposites attack. And to be, if I'm being honest with you, you know, when I was thinking, okay, what am I going to preach at a sweetheart banquet? Okay, I'm not the most romantic type person. I tend to try to stick to the stuff that I like, you know, the conflict, right? That's what makes sense. That's what I like to preach about. And I was thinking, okay, well, what's something that I wish I knew early on in my marriage, okay? Well, it would definitely be some of the mistakes that I made, okay? I was under the impression, I was just kind of raised that you find a girl, she's yours forever, she can't escape, and so, like, once you find her, that's just how it goes. You just kind of coast along. That was literally my thought process without even ever realizing it. And, of course, that led to, you know, just problems later on down the road. You know, Jessica and I are two opposites, obviously. You know, and then, you know, we got, 7, 8 years down the road, and, you know, we're two totally different people. We don't understand each other, and there's a lot of bickering and fighting. Some of that was a result of a lot of the travel that I had done, which turned into emotional distance as well when I was home. And so I had to figure out how to put this thing back together and to basically stop what could have been the inevitable. Okay. We've been married 25 in July. Yeah, I'm trying to warm up for these questions that might be coming later. So that's what it is. So hopefully this will be a help. I definitely believe that it will. But what I want to do now is I just want to kind of go through a little bit about how their marriage started to fall apart. I just want to kind of give you some tips along the way. So in 1 Samuel chapter 19, if you're following along down to verse 11, the Bible says this. Okay, so this is obviously after the time frame. You know, David is under attack from King Saul because of the envy. So verse 11 says, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So, I mean, everything right here seems to be going well. Okay, you've got David, you got his wife. She's caring for him. She's warning him of the danger that's coming. Definitely a good thing. Good to go. Verse 12. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And then verse 13 says, and Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. Verse 14, and when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. So look at how the relationship is described in the beginning. She's caring for him. She warns him. They're in the house together. Everything seems to be okay. And she even goes beyond just warning him. She tries to cover for him. She tries to cover for her husband and to save his life. Why? Because at this point in time, she definitely loves him. She doesn't have that despising feeling in her heart towards him, okay? And so what I see here, a couple of things to notice, is definitely communication, okay? I mean, David is in the house with his wife. He's there. He's present. They have, obviously, love one toward another, and she's shown caring for her husband. So the question is, how did she go from being number one to being done? Okay? It's almost like David got a glimpse of a Bible verse in the future. You know, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, and said, well, you know, she's pretty good, but Bathsheba, you know, she's great and made her first. I think he might have, you know, if he saw a glimpse of that verse, he might have misunderstood it, but of course, I'm just kidding, okay? He didn't know, but now, you might be thinking, like, what in the world is this guy talking about? How did she go from number one to being done? Well, of course, as you know, after this, he's on the run, okay? What does that do? That creates distance, okay? That creates physical distance. He's having to flee for his life. He's having to, you know, fight off his father-in-law and try to evade and still keep the peace and still try to find a way to be wise in that situation. But in the process of this, you know, it creates problems. You know, they didn't have the technology that we have today. So like today, if you're gone, obviously you've got cell phones. There's a lot of methods that you can use to still keep in contact, okay? Which I think are very important if you guys have a job that, you know, could cause, you know, you to be apart from your spouse for any length of time. Definitely you want to keep track of that, but even also throughout the day. I'm actually horrible at this. You know, I go to work and I just only check my phone, my personal phone, just like real quickly in between jobs. I'm horrible at staying up with things. It's always Jessica, the one that's contacting me. And so, you know, that's what I'm talking about. This distance, okay, it can happen and you don't even realize it. It's very subtle. And so I need to preach sermons like this. I need to study things like this, not just to help you, but also to help my own self. Because before you know it, it's like, well, I'm not the best communicator. I'm not the one that's always, you know, reaching out there. I just expect, well, she's, you know, at home with the kids, you know, doing whatever. And I'm here. I have to slave. I'm here at work just, you know, try to make it happen. But I still need to make time during the day to reach out and to keep that communication open and so on and so forth. Okay, so now let's fast forward to how did Michal become number two? What was it about his next wife that attracted David to her? Okay. Now we're gonna go to 1 Samuel chapter number 25 and just kind of follow the process here. If you're not familiar with the story, I'll just break it down really quick. So David, obviously, again, on the run from King Saul, finds himself in the wilderness taking care of a guy's sheep named Nabal. Okay, and this guy is described as the son of Belial. Okay, but there are some very fascinating things written about his wife, and I want to highlight those for you. Okay, these are my opinions. Okay, so I'm going to read a passage here, and I'm going to give you my opinion. This is why I believe that David saw something in Abigail, and why I believe that, you know, that distance that was created between him and his wife led to him looking at her as wife material. Now, aside from possible guilt, okay, because I do believe that this whole situation, you know, if you know the story, you know that Nabal dies, God kills him, okay? And so now Abigail, who's this mature, caring, loving type person, is now on her own without a husband to provide. So if you could imagine back in that time frame, okay, that would be a detrimental thing. You know, there's no state assistance, there's no welfare, there's no, you know, any kind of help like that. So it is possible that he had some guilt, but keep in mind, he did not have to marry her. He did not have to take her as his wife. So there's something else going on there, okay? And if you're confused, like, well, why did they have multiple wives, in, you know, in the Bible? Okay, well, one, it proves that God wrote the Bible. Because if man wrote it in today's day and age and was trying to use it to control society, it wouldn't be written like this. Okay, this demonstrates the fault of humanity. It demonstrates that there is a hierarchy, that God is in control, and he is looking down on man, and he's given us these stories so that we could pull lessons from them to better our own lives. Okay, that is the point. But obviously, okay, culture plays a part of it too. Old Testament culture. Okay, they just had multiple wives. It was a thing. And it always resulted in problems. But I'm going to show you that these multiple wives actually picture something here. Okay, so 1 Samuel 25 and verse 23. Okay, so this is the situation here. David and his men have helped Nabal. David seeks assistance from Nabal. And he's just like, oh, I'm not helping you. You know, you're probably just some guy who ran away from his master. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm not helping you one bit, okay? No regard for the fact that David cared for his animals and did him a solid. He doesn't care, okay? So David being David decides, well, I'm just going to kill everybody, okay? He's kind of like a lot of us guys. If there's a problem, I'm just going to wipe everyone out because that's easier than actually trying to do an investigation and find out who's at fault and blah, blah, blah. Let's just kill everyone. So that's kind of how David rolled, and that's what he is going to do, but Nabal's wife Abigail hears about that and she intercedes. Okay, so verse 23, the Bible says, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Okay, so what I see here is I see respect. I believe that David in this moment saw a woman that was respectful, okay, which is the opposite of what you're seeing promoted in today's day and age, right? A lot of women today, a lot of men today, a lot of people in general today are not very respectful anymore. And that's the problem. You guys are all hearing talk about how hard it is for these guys in the world, even guys and girls in church, to find somebody today, right? It's a problem. There is a big problem out there, and part of it is respect. So I believe that David sees this here, sees this woman. He knows what kind of man her husband is, but yet she is still very respectful, isn't showing any kind of bitterness, okay? So I believe he sees that. Verse 24. So she, it says, and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. So you've got respect. And then she says twice, upon me, upon me. Well, what is that picture? That picture's selfless service. So now he sees a woman that's respectful. He sees a woman that is able to be selfless and to put others' needs before her own, okay, which is definitely something that is lacking in today's society, you know, throughout the world. Verse 25 goes on to say, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. Okay, so she is calling her husband what he is. She's saying, you know, don't regard this son of Belial, this devil. Okay, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. So, verse 23, we see how respectful she is. Verse 24, we see the selfless service. Verse 25, now we see that she's submissive, okay? Because think about it. She is agreeing with David. She's like, you know what a son of Belial this guy is. You know that this guy is a devil. But she's still trying to save his life. Hey, I believe that David saw that. Now, the reason why these jumped out at me is because I've spent a lot of my adult life in the workforce. And I have seen countless men and women fall to other people. I have seen this so many times, it's disgusting, okay? Look, I've seen it. You've got this couple, happily married, 5 years down the road, they're both working in the same place. She's working down there, he's working over here. All of a sudden, there's this, they're together, but there's this distance because everything's the same and blah, 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 blah. They both get home, talk about work. There's no break. There's just, you know, this constant just bitterness just from, you know, them both having to work. They're both trying to fulfill the same roles, essentially. They're both trying to be providers, you know. But somehow communication breaks down, okay? And then the needs aren't being met. And then you get these women out there. And there are some women in the world that are very, very crafty, and they understand these, and they're able to slip in there and be like, oh, you know, I can be respectful. And I'm not saying that's what Abigail's doing. That's just how she was, okay? But there are women out there that will say, hey, I can see a need and fulfill a need. Okay, and there's needs that guys have, and women know that, and they're able to, you know, communicate the fact that they're there to fulfill that. And so what happens is women understand this, and they're like, well, you know, I'll just be respectful, put this guy above myself. And next thing you know, this guy's just like, oh, wow. You know, she's way better than my wife. And the next thing you know, the household is destroyed. The marriage is over. And this goes both ways. Women have needs as well. We all know that. Women need attention. The Bible says that we are supposed to constantly be learning about our wives and to love our wives. And that, what does that point you to? Attention. When they don't get that, things break down. Possibilities can arise. And I'm just here to tell you, there is. Oh, it seems like the devil's always got somebody in the bullpen for your spouse. It's just the way it is. Okay, we can sit here and try to pretend like it's not, oh, you know, I'm new IFB and I watch all these documentaries. I'm immune to this. No, you're not. You're not immune to this, okay? Everybody has to put in the effort. And that's where I failed as a young man. Like I said at the beginning, I was just kind of brought up. You get a girl, she's going to be loyal, and it all is well. You could just coast like my dad. Gets home from work, watches TV until it's time for bed, and then starts the day over again. Okay, and I didn't realize there was any problems. I just figured that's how it was. Well, that's not how it is, okay? That is definitely not how it is. So anyways, going back to this, this is what I believe that David saw in her, okay? He saw he's away from his wife. He's, you know, oh, wow, she's respectful. She's selfless service. She's submissive. She's caring for this. She would make a good wife. She would definitely make a good wife. So Nabal dies, and again, he didn't have to take her, but he did. Okay, he did. He brought her in. So I'm assuming there was some level of physical attraction to begin with. Anyways, so what does this story mean to us? What is David's multiple wives? Because I think the Bible, if I did my counting correctly, again, eight wives. Does anybody know that's true? Eight wives and definitely concubines. I might be off one or two, but it's multiples. Okay, now everybody in here, okay, is married. You know how hard it is to make that one relationship work. I cannot fathom having two wives. I cannot fathom having a wife and a girlfriend. I've met people who've had both of those. I have met people who've had wives, husbands, you know, multiple. And I'm just like, how do you do it? How in the world are you able to fake it? And of course, as you guys all know, that story always crumbles and they always get exposed. They always get found out. It just always happens. But you might be thinking, well, why read this here? I'm not going to have multiple wives. You're not going to have multiple wives, but you're going to have multiple things that take your attention away from your spouse, okay? And it all starts, in my opinion, with time apart, with distance. Some of us have jobs that take us away from the home for extended periods of time. It's just the way that it is, okay? You're blessed in being able to live in today's day and age where you can use the technology to stay in contact, but I'm just here to tell you that's not always enough, okay? Sometimes, you know, you just got to put in that extra effort and say, you know what, maybe I need to change careers, or maybe I need to change shifts. Maybe I need to do something, because I'm here to tell you, distance, physical distance can create a problem. But what's worse than that is the emotional distance, okay? That's where it is. People don't like to be lonely. You know, as humans, we don't like that. It's an issue, okay? Now, when you're newly married, you may not see this as a threat right away, but as time goes on and you get used to each other, okay, as strange as this sounds, that can almost also kind of put a distance in between, because you get comfortable and you're like, okay, well, you know, like me, she's not going anywhere, he's not going anywhere, this is, you know, good, we're together forever. But the next thing you know, you're growing apart and you don't even realize it, and then you're thinking like, well, you know, we used to be so attracted to each other, and now all we do is attack each other and fight. Why is that? I think the first thing any couple needs to do is to check the distance, okay? How often do you spend time together? How often are you talking with one another? Because both parties in any relationship needs that distance, okay? You need that time together. I'm sorry, you don't need distance apart. You need that. You need to eliminate. That's what I meant, okay? Yeah, I'm not leaking here. I'm not trying to say, look, Jessica's looking at me. What in the world are you talking about? No, you get what I'm trying to say here, okay? You need to check the distance. We need to do something about that if that's an issue, okay? But obviously, what's more important is the emotional side, okay? Making sure that, like the Bible says, guys, that we're learning about our wives, that we're constantly trying to figure them out and keep up with that and invest in that relationship, because it's not just like how I was brought up. You know, you just get the girl and it's over with, okay? It's great. She's never going to be unhappy. No. Relationship is a lifelong commitment, okay? And we say that all the time, but do you ever really just sit back and think about it? Like, lifelong, it is work. Okay, this is one of the things we always tell people at the door, right? When they say, hey, you know, I know I'm saved because I got a relationship with Jesus. That's what saves you. And we're like, well, last time I checked, relationships take a lot of work, right? And I was like, yeah, boy, they sure do. Right? Even they get it. Right? Even they understand it. They get it. You know, and of course, that's obviously not how people get saved, but that's not what this is about. Okay? A marriage or any relationship needs work. It needs, you need to constantly be auditing. You say, well, what's the challenge here? What do we do? I think the challenge in the audit is perfectly stated by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, where he says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And what he's trying to say is if we would just have this mindset from time to time, okay, when we think there's a problem, when we think there's an issue, and obviously in this situation, we're talking about our spouses, we're talking about our marriage, our relationship, okay? We need to be in a constant state of self-audit. How are things going? Okay, if there's tension, look, you can feel tension. You can walk in a room and feel like if something's not right with people, right? You guys know that. Well, you know that it's even more intense in a marriage, in a relationship. You know when there's a problem, okay? And when you can sense that, that's when you have to figure out, how can I fix this? Okay? You don't need to pay a lot of money to a therapist. You don't need to get on Facebook or whatever social media and blast out there, you know, I need all this help. And I'm not trying to knock anybody who's done that. What you need to do is figure out, hey, is this a distance problem that has led to some sort of communication breakdown or a breakdown of either person in the relationship not meeting their needs? Okay? When, you know, and we don't have time to get into this, but obviously, like I said earlier, you know, women need attention from their husbands. They need to be made to be feel like they're loved. Okay, husbands, love your wives. Why do you think the Bible constantly says that? Husbands, love your wives. You know, every time I read that, I'm like, you know, well, of course, that's what you're supposed to do. Well, the reason why it's in there multiple times is because it's so tempting for us not to do it. Love is not just this, you know, this word you just say, okay, oh, love you, and it just takes care of everything. Okay, that's not how it works. Okay. Go think about the early days of Michal and David's relationship. She didn't just say that she loved him. She actually demonstrated that by communicating, hey, my father wants you dead. Okay? But furthermore, I'm going to help sneak you out. So she had the action. Okay? Well, obviously, later on down the road, there's distance. David's like, you know, probably lonely. He's a guy. You can figure this out, right? And sees an opportunity. He's like, well, this is acceptable in our culture, I guess. She would make a good second wife. And of course, what is that going to do to Michal? Now she's not number one. Now she's not his one and only. Now she's number two. And then with the third, fourth, fifth, and by the time you get down to Bathsheba, okay, she's already been married off by her father to somebody else. David goes and gets her back. Of course she's upset. Of course she's horrified. Of course she's going to despise him in his heart. I don't think it was the fact that he put God before her. I don't think that that's why she despised him. I think it's because she went from number one to being done. Because she went from being the first to being the last. Okay? They misapplied that Bible verse in their marriage, and it led to disaster. And so, you know, obviously we all start out the same practically. Opposites attract, but eventually those same opposites begin to attack. And I'm telling you, it typically boils down to some type of a distance. Maybe it's because you're gone a lot, but in our day and age, and with our kind of a crowd here, it's typically because you're gone mentally. You've checked out on some level from the relationship. You got too busy at work. You got too busy with the other wife's picture. The other wife's picture, the children. The other wife's picture, hobbies, friendships with other people. And I'm not saying any of those things are bad. That's not what I'm trying to say. But what I am trying to say is that in a marriage, okay, you and her, that marriage, that's top priority. Obviously, God comes first. Everybody in here knows that. But aside from that, you know, not even those children should be put above that relationship. And I'm telling you, if you don't get this right, man, it is going to put a hurting on your marriage. I've been there. That's why I'm here to tell you this. Okay? That is why I'm here to share this. And so I just think that if we could constantly judge ourselves, okay, we would not be judged. We would not have to go down that road that possibly David did. Now, obviously, it's illegal to do what David did, and definitely not acceptable nor sane, in my opinion, today. Now, I get they didn't have the Holy Ghost back then, but, it, you know, in the world as he is today, But still, definitely crazy. But we still kind of do the same thing, don't we? On some level, you know, we start to put other things on par with our relationships, with our marriage. Well, this job's very important. I want to provide a better life, so I got to work more hours. See, look, sometimes you're going to have to work more hours, but you just when that happens, guys, you have got to understand. You need to somehow make it up on the back end because it does take its toll. And your wife's not always going to bring that up. You know, she's going to be there and love you and, you know, say all these nice things that they do because they're keepers at home and they do very well. And, you know, we get that, but I'm just telling you, over time, it does take a mental toll. And so you need to reel that in sometimes and be like, is this causing an issue? And if so, you know, you need to do something to get that distance back. Because when you can restore that distance, okay, then what are you doing? You're automatically bringing in that communication and you're automatically bringing in those needs. And that will help. Those three things will help complete your relationship and help it to stay on track. Okay. Again, this is free. You don't have to go to a therapist. You don't have to pay all this money. You know, you don't have to do any of that. It's very simple. I'm telling you, most of these issues are because of some distance. And it's usually the guy, you know, it's true. Usually the guy that's checked out. He's usually checked out on some level, got a lot of things going on, managing a lot of different things at work or whatever it is. And the next thing you know, you have put your wife on the back burner. You have literally married Abigail. Well, my paycheck's pretty respectful and it's selfless and it's always showing up on time. You know, and it's just the same kind of thing, you know. It's submissive to me. It does what I want. You know, I can spend it any way I choose. And yeah, it's going to bite you. Okay, that is what it will do. So if there was one thing, again, I could just impart to you, is to make sure, and obviously, you know, this applies to the women too. Obviously, you know, I see all of you out here, you know, and most of us, you know, in here, we have the same kind of story. You know, we have the same traditional marriage. If I was talking to the world, it'd be a little bit different, you know. But guys are supposed to take the high ground principle, which I'm going to talk about tomorrow. Okay? We have to own it. We are the ones that have to be the leaders. We are the ones that have to say, you know what? This is my fault. Even, you know, even if you think she's doing this and blabbing this and saying this about you, hey, okay, at the end of the day, it stops and it starts with us. Yeah. Because we are the leaders of our household. That is the way that God has designed this. And so I just go back and say, hey, you know, if there's an issue, it starts with you. Don't wait for somebody else to come and fix it. That's not going to happen. You as a guy have to be able to recognize and say, you know what? I'm going to take this on me, whether it's my fault or not. Whether you think it is or not, you need to own that, take that, and just make sure that you're putting in that work to eliminate that distance that has somehow crept into your relationship. And once you do that, that communication and those meetings of needs is going to get better, and your relationship is definitely going to go in a better direction. I promise it's not going to be overnight. If you have an issue, you know, it's not like a super quick, fast thing, but it is a guarantee because the Bible says husbands love your wives. And when you do that and you act that, yay, you actually go forth and do that. It's not just words, okay? We're not just hearers of the words like James said, we're doers also. Once you put these things into working applications, that is when you get results, okay? Most of the time when I'm talking to people that are having these types of issues, they're telling me like, oh, well, I do this and I do say this. I do say that I love this person. I do say that. It's like, yeah, but you're not showing it. You're not actually doing anything. Okay, nothing in your pattern of behavior has actually changed. Okay, yeah, you're maybe saying you love your wife a few more times a day. Okay, but you're not showing it. You're not doing it. Okay, that's the key. You must do. You have got to do. If you don't do, you're going to get done. That's just how life works. Okay, you must do. So hopefully that makes sense and we can all watch opposites attack when we play this game. So, all right, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church, for this event. I just pray that you would bless our time together this evening, and that you'd bring us back safely tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.